is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.
Next on News for the Soul. It's time for the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, natural medicine, herbal medicine, nutrition, and Ayurveda. She's a scientist, professional speaker, and the author of over 20 books. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here to help you achieve complete optimum health. Please welcome Dr. Holly back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to April, and welcome to Whole Health Initiative, and I hope you're having a good day today. We just got blessed with rain today, so everything that's in the garden just got well soaked. Hopefully you appreciate the rain when it comes down to soak your gardens, too, so let's move into gardening. All right, we have addressed several steps in preparing for a summer garden production over the last several weeks, actually several months. So we started back how to use different manures and layer them to get the best out of your soils, to propagate it with all those really good microbes that we need in our soils, as well as minerals and whatnot. And we've gone right through to last week. We were using various plants as antipathogens or to repel pathogens. This week we were going to look at homemade formulas that are herbicides, insecticides, pesticides, etc. Now, I've listed a number of sites that I have got various information from. I think I have 12 different formulas that I've taken, and it's really hard. I can't actually give the actual reference for them because I had kept them in a book a long time ago, and when I finally got them onto the website, it's like, okay, so where did these come from? But they work, so let's use them. One of my favorites is using neem oil. Now, apparently you can't get neem oil as a spray for plants in Canada anymore. Apparently that stopped 2 years ago. But that doesn't stop us from creating our own neem. Now, neem is a phenomenal plant, well known for 3,000 years in Ayurvedic in India, Ayurvedic medicine, phenomenal antimicrobial on the body. We can use it for all kinds of things. We can use it as toothpaste. We use it as creams, as oils. Just it has a wide capacity for usage. So when we're looking at the garden, we can use it as a fungicide, bactericide, to prevent plant parasites of various kinds, aphids, beetles, whiteflies, mites, powdery mildew, etc. One of the things, the most prominent components is called azadirachtin. It's a sulfuric compound that kills the various parasites. And what you can do is use a half ounce of neem oil with a half teaspoon of dish soap and 2 quarts of water. It's best if you spray it on late in the evening or in the very early morning, and you want to spray it on your blossoming fruit trees like apple, pear, plum, nectarine, etc. You want to do it before they blossom. You don't want to kill the blossoms. If the tree has started blossoming and you want to use it, then just spray it on the trunk of the tree, not where the blossoms are. It will interfere with the mosquitoes the mason bees pollinating. Epsom salts is another one. It's great for potato beetles, for slugs and snails and various creatures of that type. It's also really good for black spot, for mildew, for wilt, and for rust. So you use 2 ounces of salt in 2 gallons of water. Epsom salts, remember. There's a side to Epsom salts being used in that manner. Don't forget Himalayan salt. You can use Himalayan salt for nutrient in the soil. It has all your minerals. And what I do is use maybe half a teaspoon in a gallon of water And I only spray it into the gardens maybe once a month. If you use too much Himalayan salt, the minerals will actually cause more damage. So you want to be very careful. You want it, but you only want a little. Okay, cinnamon. Cinnamon can kill ants and aphids and various different types of insects as well as fungi, both mosquitoes and their larvae. What you can use is 1 tablespoon of cinnamon oil, and I didn't put in how much water. Isn't that interesting? I put oil in twice. That's weird. I use 1 tablespoon of cinnamon oil for 1 gallon of water. I will make whatever corrections I find along the way and send it back to Nicole to repost. I think she's already posted it, but we can repost it. Garlic spray. Now, garlic can be used for a wide number of things. We know how beneficial it is in our body, but in our garden, it's incredibly beneficial. When we're doing companion gardening, there are some things that garlic doesn't like, but in fact, most things like garlic. One thing I can remember that garlic does not like is your pole beans. So where I have a structure my bed for the pole beans is 2 feet by 6 feet. And so the structure just fits inside that raised bed. And I put the pole beans at either end and they just travel up and along the structure. And they just do wonderfully well, but they don't like garlic. But garlic does eliminate beetles, termites, wireworms, mites, moles, ants, fungi, and bacteria. It's pretty darn good. Now, you can do a weak solution, would be about 6 cloves in 1 gallon of water. Or you can do a strong solution, 2 cloves in 1/2 cup of water. And I do both, okay? Whether you want to or not, obviously up to you. But you pour the boiling water over the crushed cloves. Now, how to get crushed cloves? I take a clove and a wide knife. I always have a small hammer in the kitchen or in the hothouse. And I smash the knife so that you're not dicing it, you're smashing it. You get a lot more nutrient density for some reason if you smash it. I strain it into a container, and then I can add in cayenne pepper or hot sauce, and that which increases the number of pathogens that it will prevail against. You can also add in 1 tablespoon of liquid soap. You can use vegetable oil, but I found that the liquid soap works just fine, cheaper. And what the oil or the soap does is it smothers larvae. And I can spray that weekly, and I can spray it under the leaves, which is where most of your larvae will take place. Now, you can also use, so with any of these, again, I always say with most things, experiment. My garden is a massive experimentation. You can take 2 hot peppers, a large onion, and a whole bulb of garlic, clove of garlic, I should have written, not a bulb. No, actually, that's wrong. That is 1 whole bulb of garlic, 1 large onion, and 2 hot peppers. You toss everything into a food processor, add 1/4 cup of water, blend until a mash is made. You cover the mash with 1 gallon of hot, not boiling, but hot water, and let it stand for 24 hours. Then you can strain it into a sprayer, and man, it works phenomenally well. Don't forget with the mash that's left behind, in the straining, and you can use just a cheesecloth to strain it or a fine strainer. Put the mash right into the ground where bugs are the heaviest, especially if they're around ants, because that will kill the bugs. You can also buy a product called Garlic Barrier, but you don't need to because you can make it so easily. All right, there's another one, in onion insect. Now, I did make a note that it was first published in May 18, 2007, but I couldn't find where that was. So what you do here is you save all your onion skins, your onion peels, anything that's left over, and put them in the refrigerator. Now, just put them in any kind of container. I've suggested an empty margarine-sized tub. You can even put them in a Ziploc bag, for crying out loud. Once you have enough, you place it in a pail, warm water, and you soak it for a few days. actually, you can keep it on the patio in the sun to actually steep, which is interesting, steep like a tea. After the week is out, you strain the bits out and store the batch in, again, spray bottles. Now, you bury the onion bits that you've strained out in the vegetable gardens that are prone to aphid, spiders, and pests. You can use the spray both on house and garden plants, and it will help to fight aphids and various other pests. You can also toss in your garlic trimmings with the onion pieces because they most bugs hate garlic, too. They hate the sulfur in it. Okay, baking soda. Take a tablespoon of baking soda and 4 drops of liquid dish soap and 1 liter of water. Just blend it and spray. You can use basil tea, a cup of fresh basil or 2 tablespoons of dried basil. Again, 1 teaspoon of liquid dish detergent. Bring 4 cups of water to a boil. Then add the basil, remove from the heat, cover and steep overnight until it's cool. Mix in the soap and that's good. The reason that you always mix in soap is because the actual soap compounds are thick and heavy. Remember last week or the week before, I was talking about putting the tape around the trees, your fruit trees, and you put the goop on it, and that prevents bugs moving from the ground up the trunk of the tree. Well, because it captures them and they get stuck. Well, basically, that's the same thing that you're doing with the soap, the liquid dish soap, is it, especially your larva, suffocates it and paralyzes it, which sounds like a really cruel thing, but do you want your bugs to eat all your fruit or your trees or what have you, or do you want to stay in control of the bugs? I'd rather stay in control of the bugs. This can be a difficult thing for some people, because I remember... I have several friends that own farms, organic farms, and have like 50, 60, whatever chickens, and they'll kill coyotes, and they'll kill minks and different animals. And, oh, that must be so hard to kill those animals. But if you don't kill them, they end up killing your chickens. So how do you get around that? Okay, let's move on, get past the philosophy of it all. Okay, salt spritz, 2 tablespoons of salt, and that should be that pea in there. Combine the salt with 1.5 gallons of water to dissolve the salt. Now, with this one, you're just using table salt, okay? You're not using Himalayan salt. It's good for spider mites, caterpillars, cabbage worms, and chewing critters of various kinds. You can use what's called a horticultural oil mix, so that's 1 tablespoon vegetable oil and 1 teaspoon liquid dish detergent, 2 cups of water. Fill a spray bottle with the ingredients, shake well, and spray. A pepper recipe. Now, this one I use a lot. 1/2 cup of hot peppers or 2 teaspoons of cayenne pepper. Again, your teaspoon of dish detergent, you bring 1/4 water to a boil, you remove from the heat and add the peppers, cover and steep until cool, strain and add the liquid soap. If using cayenne pepper, there's no need to bring it to a boil first. You just go straight ahead. Peppermint tea, 1 tablespoon of peppermint essential oil. You can use an infusion made with mint leaves. And remember, there's a variety in the mint family. And the mint family, if you grow it, you want to grow it in its own container because it will take over like a weed. But all your different mints from the same family all have the same impact. You combine the ingredients, treat it as an insect spray, and it's terrific for ants. Okay? That's all kinds of things, but that's what we use it for. Also, you might want to know mint tea is really good for people quitting smoking because it changes the taste of tobacco in the mouth and they don't get cigarettes. So I put in here a few specific parasites that you might get. If you get wireworm, use a potato, cut it in half, poke it in with a wire, plant about 1 to 2 inches into the dirt, and then pull up and throw it every 2 or 3 days. The potato will apparently draw the wireworm to it. So when you pull it up, make sure you're using gloves and shovel because it's pretty gross. Peach fungus, that's what I had on my fruit trees last year, especially my nectarine and my plum trees. You can use garlic spray and afterwards use neem spray. Now, they tell you not to use neem spray if it has started, if it already has the peach fungus, because it could harm the tree and the fruit. But I didn't read that until after I'd already used it. And it certainly didn't harm anything, and I still had production. So that's what some sites will tell you. I used lots of the garlic spray, got rid of all the fungus on all four trees, two plum trees, Italian plum, and two nectarine. And I certainly used lots of neem, because neem is not only an antimicrobial, it's loaded with nutrients. So I sprayed once I got rid of the fungus, I sprayed them all with neem, and they are just glorious this year, but they did produce some fruit last year. Powdery mildew. Now, people say you only get powdery mildew on stuff that's come out of the nursery. Well, that's not true. You can get powdery mildew from all kinds of places, but one of the most simple solutions is just using the baking soda and water and spraying the plant both on top and underneath the leaf, and that will get rid of your powdery mildew. So that's it for today's talk on natural pathogens. And natural pathogens. Pathogens are natural. We wanted antimicrobials to deal with them. Okay, that's questions. I'm trying to find the article for today. Okay, we're taking a little bit different perspective today. We'll thank Nicole for that. She said, well, people need to know what to do afterwards. Okay, so beyond COVID. I love this quote by John Wooden, do not let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do. Okay, so this has been a difficult year for many, many people. We have addressed the COVID nonsense from so many different perspectives. We're giving you so many references, videos, websites, etc. to look at. The government promised a year ago that the lockdowns would be short and mask wearing would be only for a short while, yet it continues today in many, many places. We have seen how 90% of the media has eliminated so much information, not only election information, but virus information, vaccination information. They've distorted the information. Of course, we've seen how the counting stats have been so misused and abused and misreported. And part of it comes from ignorance, but an awful lot part because they're trying to create fear. So we know that. We have learned how companies and organizations have done research for years preparing for this supposed pandemic. It's not a pandemic. It's a plandemic or a scamdemic, whichever you want to call it. And that basically the virus was created, if you want, or presented. The fear-mongering around the virus was done in order to create a need out of fear, if not anything else, for a vaccination. Again, the COVID acronym stands for Certification of Vaccination Identification. We've seen how the different components of the vaccination had already been patented and prepared for 2015, 16, 17, etc. We've talked about that over and over again. What's in these so-called vaccinations? Despite all the information that's out there, just blows me away. Despite the vast amount of information out there, people are still running to get these vaccinations. We've talked about and given you reports on a weekly basis over the duration of now. We're looking at the numbers for the vaccinations and the deaths from the vaccination. Over 10,000 deaths, for crying out loud. Over 300,000 adverse events. Now, that's coming from 2 weeks ago. And we have to compile it, you know, whether it's from India, whether it's from Europe, whether it's from the U.S., et cetera. Everybody has a different reporting system. Even within countries, they have different reporting systems. We can go right back to last May. I loved it when the senator from Minnesota, who's also a physician, came out. The big thing he was saying was hospitals and physicians are being so pressured about COVID stats. So, you know, you're hit by a bus was the primary analogy. You're hit by a bus, but you're admitted to the hospital because of COVID. You died because you were hit by a bus, but, you know, on the death certificate, it says COVID. We saw how in September the CDC for the U.S. actually admitted that less than 6% of the people died from COVID. They actually died with COVID. Most of us have that string of RNA within us, for crying out loud. We've talked about even how ice cream and mangoes have that string of COVID in them, and that there's 90% false positives, and we've talked about the PCR testing and the 90% false positives of PCR testing and why it's not sense and why it's not supposed to be. We've talked about so much of this stuff. This is all old hat to you. We've talked about how the vaccinations are experimental, and that even the producers blatantly tell us that they don't protect us from the virus, that nor do they help us if we get the virus. So why are we taking the vaccination? They tell us that it's going to leave us more vulnerable down the road. So why are we taking it? It's unbelievable. We've looked at how GMO RNA could affect our DNA, and they really don't know to what extent. But even on the Moderna site, we looked at how it tells us the vaccination is basically like a Windows operating system that leaves you open to have them alter your DNA down the road. I mean, this is just unbelievable. Why would you go and get a vaccination if you have any awareness at all? And if you don't have the awareness, why aren't you questioning? What is the problem that you're not questioning? Now, we know that fewer and fewer people don't follow YouTube or Google or Twitter anymore. They instead follow all the alternative sites in order to get the real information. We know that 90% of the media is controlled by six people that are incredibly corrupt. And so now people are avoiding CBC, NBC, ABC, et cetera, going to all these alternative platforms, websites, et cetera. Thank goodness we're waking up. We keep seeing how those who have the courage and determination to stand up for the truth, whether in medicine with regard to the viruses and vaccinations, or with it has to do with politics and elections, whether it has to do with the international central banking that is controlling countries around the world, whether it's the horrific use and abuse of trafficking children for not only for pedophile activity, satanic activity, and for the adrenochrome. I mean, that is just absolutely horrific. How the whole Epstein issue was barely a tip of the iceberg. There's so much more going on. I mean, there's so many websites that are documenting this now around the world. Unbelievable. Businesses that are trying to stay open despite inappropriate government control. Actually, many saying that the government control is illegal. It's unconstitutional. Many people who are choosing not to wear masks despite what they get from their peers. With these people, they're losing their jobs. They lose their local business licenses. They get fined, et cetera. Some get put in jail. It's unbelievable what's going on. And now many are learning that not is it just that Western conventional medicine is fake medicine, our news is fake news, our politics is fake politics, our history is fake history. For many, it promotes a desire to dig deeper, to question further, to find out what's really going on. Unfortunately, however, many are willing to turn a blind eye and just carry on. For others, they simply give up and follow along with the herd mentality. It is amazing how many people who supposedly have good educations are not questioning and not doing their research. It's amazing. Yet when I was in both med school and in naturopathic school, I was amazed at how many students simply accepted whatever was taught to them without question. And for crying out loud, just because these people are teaching this to you, that doesn't mean it's the absolute God-given truth. Do your research. There were so many things. No, this isn't supported. This is still hypothetical. In fact, they say 90% of Western conventional medicine is based on hypothesis. Okay? But I have the same issues to a lesser extent in naturopathic college. I couldn't believe it. It's like, come on, people, wake up. History has proven time and time again that Western conventional medicine is wrong. Cognitive management skills determines our intellectual capacity, and that's the capacity to question. Abstract reasoning, objective perspective, critical analysis, those are all aspects of intelligence. It doesn't matter how much you know. That's just knowledge base. I want people to develop their intellect. Learn to question. Learn to stand up. Learn to find out what's really going on. Challenges. We all are different. We follow different paths. We have different agendas, and we do things because of different value systems and for underlying determinations of how we interpret the world, how we organize the world, how we respond to the world. So we have to accept that. People are simply different. However, we also know that suicides and homicides are way up around the world. Personal bankruptcies and corporate bankruptcies are up all around the world, and yet this not continues. Many question, who's really behind all this nonsense? So is it the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party? Is it the Gates Foundation and the Fossey Empire? Is it the three controlling cities, the Vatican, the City of London, and the District of Columbia, none of which belong to any country, but rather stand on their own, make their own rules, and live by a different protocol than the rest of us, and who we have now found out are incredulously corrupt and incredulously controlling? Many people look towards other species and whether they can or will help us fighting the evil that we are becoming more and more aware of. I would love to connect with another species, intergalactic, whatever you want to call it. In fact, Tom and I, after reading all of Dr. Stephen Greer's work, we went down to Tulsi Tree Park to see if we could connect with anything. We went up to Mount Shasta to see if we could connect with anything. And whether they're there or not, we certainly did get to connect with anything. But we both had an interest in it. Like, wouldn't that be cool if we could? And many people claim that they do and are. So that is awesome. As more and more people are becoming aware that this COVID-19 was never a pandemic, but rather a plandemic or a scandemic, they also question, what's going to happen down the road? Will we ever get back to what we thought was normal, despite how much we're now finding out everything we were taught or presented to us was basically fake? Will there be a new normal established? Will governments take more and more of our liberties and freedoms away? These are huge, huge questions. So my question to you is, what are you doing about creating the future? This is your future. It's our future. It's a conglomerate future. In my belief system, and remember, I never try to impose my belief system onto you. I simply own it as being my belief system. I always encourage everybody, do your research. Figure out what resonates well with you. Come up with your own truths. If you want, there's two different truths. There's the truths that we understand, and then there's the God-given truth that is above and beyond our comprehension. So we have our truth. Figure out what your truth is. I know what mine is. As I say, in my belief system, as I just said, I always encourage everyone to determine what their belief system is. And I ask each of us to focus on what we want the world to become, and to take action to create that world. So are you just sitting back and waiting to see what's going to happen? Or are you one of the people that are sharing vital information with family and friends about what's really going on? Are you one of those who can stand up to governments who are abusing the rights and freedoms of our Constitution, either as an individual, say as a lawyer, as a company, in a variety of different capacities? Are you supporting the real journalistic websites and newsletters? I mean, these people are going out on a limb to report the truth of what's going on. Are you supporting them? Are you sharing what they're telling us? What is it that you, as an individual, are doing? I have an immense amount of respect for those restaurateurs who have remained open. The first one I heard about, I just loved, was in California. And he had a sign, I can't remember the name of his restaurant, who he, his name, but he has a sign outside his restaurant, and two signs. One sign says, not allowed to wear masks inside, and the second one says, you give something to do with, you give me any scientific proof that lockdowns or wearing masks are a benefit. I will close my restaurant. Or I will cooperate, subject to that. On the Easter weekend, apparently we had two restaurants in Vancouver that stayed open that were incredibly packed, and the Vancouver City took their license away. So it's really hard when it's just a few, but if we came together as a huge conglomerate of people, the governments wouldn't have a leg to stand on. We have to learn to come together. We have to learn to work together. They can knock out one here, one there, one wherever, but they can't knock out all of us together. Remember that. People who have put together and posted videos about the real numbers or about the real science or about the real election frauds or what have you, many of them lose their jobs or get fined. And we know how Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and YouTube take down their accounts. So now we have, I mean, think about it. There's a really good example being taken down, all these accounts being closed. So what do the people do as a conglomerate? We now have 101 other platforms and websites and what have you to go to, which means we have to do a lot more research. But that is the power of the totality of all of us, right? So we have to band together. We have to stand up together. And I love the various places around the world where people band together in the streets and celebrate life, not wearing masks, but being real and being human and breathing the fresh air and getting that oxygen into their lungs and into their brains. When people do that as a mass conglomerate without any violence, just as a mass people celebrating life, we have phenomenal impact. The challenge is, of course, with the fake news, the fake YouTube, the fake whatever, they take down all those sites. So again, we go to the alternative sites. Don't want to have the truth spoken up? Then fine, we'll find other ways to do it. I love that. So it brought me to think of Gandhi and what Gandhi did in India. Gandhi was phenomenal. Talk about a person being able to passively eliminate England out of India. That was beautiful. And he did an awful lot there without violence. The poor guy, he went on all those fasts and what have you to support his people and protect his people, but he did it. Another one was Mandela, what he did for South Africa, all those years in prison and then coming out and being the leader for South Africa. Each of us, I think, I encourage, I support each of us to be a leader like these great men. Now, you may be a leader just within your family circle or within your group of friends or within the community or the province or state or country or worldwide. I don't care how big your circle is. Be a leader. Stand up. Be accounted for. Be willing to stand for the truth and for wisdom and do so with respect. On a more esoteric level, regardless of your religion or your philosophy or your belief system, are you engaging in prayer, in meditation, or perhaps even asking for connection with other species or divine intervention? I don't care how you're doing it, just do it. Because every thought pattern is a energy pattern. And we need to create that energy pattern around the world to stand together. Perhaps you have the capacity to work with other species. Of course, if you do, that's awesome. I wish I did, but I don't. Responsibility to engage with intention to create the world we want to live in. We are the people. Governments are there to serve us, not the other way around. Be aware. Take action. On whatever level you can, I encourage you to be abundant in what you can do on any level, on every level of life, so that we can all be a part of a world that we can be proud of, that we can treat each other with respect, that we can share wisdom and knowledge truthfully. I've given you a number of sites. I think there's only three. Let me just go down. Yeah, only three to look at this week, but please, by all means, engage in the articles. And I left you with a final note, which I really love. Pray as if it's all up to the divine and work as if it's all up to you. Master Lama Rao Zanjing. That is the article for today. I hope that benefited you. I hope that encouraged you, supported your belief system. I hope you'll do something with that. Okay, now, let's go to the next part of the show. We have questions. Thank you, Nicole, for supplying questions, and thank you, the listeners, for sending in questions. We can't answer all of them. Nicole does go through, and she finds ones that sends to me, and then we answer them. So let's see what we can do today. Dana in the UK. I have had dry eyes lately, so dry they hurt, like they have literal sand in them. What could cause this, and is there something I could do to fix this? One of the common remedies for dry eyes is simply putting baby oil under the eye, not in the eye, but under the eye on the upper cheek before you go to bed at night. Now, that may work for you, but it depends, again, like we always say, on what's causing the dry eyes. So I have a few, but there's probably a whole lot more. Diabetes can cause eye issues, neuropathies, and various different eye issues. High blood pressure can cause eye issues. Hormones, aging, autoimmune disorders like lupus, a variety of different inflammatory, especially arthritic conditions, but iritis, when the iris is actually inflamed, scleritis. Sjögren's syndrome, which is an autoimmune disorder, can cause pain, but it will typically cause swelling in many areas as well as the eyes. You'll get a dry mouth. You'll get pain in your joints, dry throat, coughing, vaginal dryness, fatigue. I can't think of any of the other ones, but there's a variety of them. So as usual, the first thing is to find out why. What is causing the dryness? Now, I have heard people talk about, well, it's the chemtrails that they're leaving behind. It's because there's less oxygen in the atmosphere. There's all kinds of other issues like that that are very controversial. So I don't know if in your area, the pollutants in the air, if that's what's causing them. Certainly vitamin C is hugely important. Highest concentration is in the eyes and protects the eyes, the fluid in the eyes. So, but is your eyes, are the valves to the side of the eyes producing the fluid that you need in the front of the eyes? Do you have other issues going on? There's so many different issues. I've just given you a few of them. Okay? Find out the cause and then solve it. Try just baby oil under your eyes. The other problem with doing something like that is it may just be covering up a symptom and not solving the underlying issue. Again, to go back, I didn't finish that with vitamin C. If it's lack of vitamin C, not only can you take vitamin C, but red peppers are fantastic for vitamin C. So get lots of, grow your red peppers in your garden. Eat lots of red peppers in your salads and your omelets and what have you, and get that vitamin C up in your eyes. Another one is glutathione. It's in every cell of the body, the highest concentration in the liver, but the second highest concentration is in your eyes. Okay? All righty. Francis M. I don't have a location, just the name. I am pretty sure I broke my finger recently, but I want no part of mainstream medical institutions right now. I can appreciate that. I have made sort of a makeshift splint for it, but I keep re-injuring it when I move. Any suggestions on what I can do? I had to laugh. I mean, it hurts. Like, heck, I appreciate that, but I had to laugh because I have one toe that I broke 3 times in the space of 2 years. There's nothing they can do for that. But you have to remember, take this into consideration, you do a lot less with those than you do with your fingers. So you may want to go and get some help from a mainstream. But to give you an example, I made splints out of popsicle sticks. So I got tiny little popsicle sticks, and both on the front and the back, and then taped it really, really tight so that it couldn't move either way. Like Maha Narayana oil, which you can get from Savanti. I just call it Maha oil. It's a whole lot easier. Artica is a fantastic cream for when you have any connective tissue issues that have been strained or broken. But do remember, depends on which finger, I guess it is, but I would want to really make sure it was doing okay with my fingers because we use them in so many different ways. And again, you don't want any arthritis down the road. So you want to make sure it's set properly. Now, having said that, I told you what I did with my toes, and I have the one poor little toe, and I have never, ever had a problem with it, any kind of arthritis or what have you. So either I was just incredibly lucky, or it didn't break in a way that was too challenging for the body. I don't know, but that is what I did. So you have to decide what you're going to do with that. Sorry, that's all I've got for you. Probably not the answer you were looking for. Okay, David in California. Do you have any word on what level they're going to try to enforce these vaccines on us? I've heard some people say we won't be able to buy food. Is that true? What can we do? Well, number one, I would suggest that you get engaged, just like we were talking about in the article. Get engaged on any level. Constitutions are different for different countries and even in different states or provinces within a country. Stand up and argue. Stand up with whatever legal force is taking action in your area. Be a part of the solution rather than sit patiently by and be part of the problem. Yes, they have been researching this actually for years in the WHO, which was part of the plandemic or scamdemic, whichever way you want to call it. To what degree can they get around constitutions and et cetera to impose. Now, in China, we learned last spring, early summer, they had imposed a QR code on everybody. And if you didn't have your QR code, you couldn't access food or finances or travel. It also had your medical on the QR code. And, of course, that's what they want to do with the vaccination. So we are fighting that in any way, in every way we can. So stand up, be accounted for. Whether you're writing letters to your MPs, MLAs, senators, whatever you have politically supposedly serving you, stand up and have a voice. There's all kinds of petitions online that you can sign in different areas. There's a load of them. Do whatever you can. Go to the WHO. Get active. Get involved. We want to fight this worldwide, definitely. And yes, it is true. They are looking at trying to mandate it. Like I said, they've been working on this for several years now. This isn't something new. This has been planned for a long time. One of the things I did mention last week, I get an anaphylactic reaction to various things. So, you know, if they tried to vaccinate me, I can say, well, hold on a minute. I get an anaphylactic reaction. I do have allergic responses. And so they wouldn't vaccinate me. But what would I do then if it does somehow get mandated? And even within the country, we are so different. You know, in the States, California and New York has been operating entirely differently than Florida. In Canada, we have Ford out of Ontario operating entirely different than other provinces in Canada. So I like to say in some places we have lunatics running the situation, and we don't want those lunatics controlling us. We have to stand up and fight. That's what this whole thing was about today. Stand up, get involved, be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Anthony in the UK, I was wondering if Dr. Holly knows if there are any long-term detrimental effects to getting tattoos. Can the ink act as a toxin? Definitely. You not only have the hygienic issues, and I love tattoos. I mean, some of them are just absolutely gorgeous, the artwork, the color, et cetera. I know several people that have a ton of tattoos and have never had a problem with them. Know that. On the other hand, I have been apprehensive about getting a tattoo, and I just want a little. However, there are a number of issues with getting tattoos that may or may not impact on you. Apart from the sterilization of the needles, you can get inflammatory reactions. The metal salts can react with lower layers of the skin. You can get skin infections, staphylococcus. You can get discolorations, various allergic reactions. It's called allergic contact dermatitis or photoallergic dermatitis. You can get keloid scarring and cellulitis. You can get photosensitivity. If they can actually interfere with an MRI. I didn't know that until I started doing research on them. They can hide indications of skin cancer. And there is a European study, European Chemical Agency. I don't think it's finished, but they're currently running, or I thought they were... They were involved in running, I haven't got a clue whether it's been finished or not, in finding proof for whether or not the ink can cause cancer. So that is a controversy at this, or a hypothesis at this point. I don't think it's been proven one way or the other. There's a number of bloodborne diseases that you can get, hepatitis B and C, HIV, tetanus. The pigments are made from plastics and metal salts, including... mercury sulfides, cobalt, albuminates, cadmium, and chromium. Other chemicals include, it's an iron, ferrous oxide, and titanium oxides. Now, none of these are regulated in tattoos. They can all cause a huge number of issues. And it may not be in the short term. It may, like in the short term, you get the inflammation. To cook the keloid scarring or cellulitis in the short term. But many of these toxicities can cause a problem in the long term. So it's not just short term, it could be long term as well. So if you're going to go and get one of those glorious tattoos, I do think they incredible artwork. Actually, there's another one I didn't mention. I have seen people that got tattoos that with age and sagging skin looked absolutely hilarious. So you have to know that too. Ascension. Go at one point and get tattoos, just a small tattoo, indicating a sign of ascension. And actually, we were killing ourselves laughing about whether or not we would actually go and do that. And then so I started looking up all this information. And then we went on one holiday and he had to come home earlier than me. Actually, a friend met me and so we sent, or I sent him a text from the following week that I actually did go and get a tattoo. And what it was a henna tattoo on my leg for ascension. He kept saying, you didn't do it. I know you didn't do that. I don't know what you're talking about, but you didn't. After reading all that possibility of toxins and what have you, I can't imagine you getting it. Well, I did get a tattoo, but it was a henna tattoo. So it only lasted for a few weeks. But it was fun. But there's all kinds of problems with it, and you may not have any problem at all. You're taking a risk. So the bottom line is find a place that has a very high success rate, is well recognized, that has all the hygiene components, et cetera, in place that you can trust to minimize the possibility of issues. Okay, let's move on to the next one. We have Cindy in Toronto. I put on weight thanks to the COVID imprisonment this past year. I love that, COVID imprisonment, yeah. That's basically what it is, and they don't have a right to do that, I don't believe. I had assumed things would change, but imagine that they're still here. What can we do at least to stop things from getting worse in the meantime? Now, that is a beautiful question, and it totally relates to the whole article that I spent on this Wednesday, is get involved, be part of the movement, stand up, support real journalism. In any way you can, spread the information, get these programs, these websites, these videos, etc., to go viral. Help in any way you can. Don't support CBC, NBC, ABC, whatever, by watching them. Shut down the friggin' television. Get off those programs. Don't support them. If we're not supporting them by watching them, then they're going to get less and less advertisement on those programs as well. And, you know, we know that there's big money behind them as well, but We don't want to be watching them. We don't want to support them in any way, shape, or form. But if you have funds, if you have the ability, if you have the capacity, support the alternative sites. Find ones that you trust, that you believe, for whatever particular reasons that you have. Get involved. Sending in letters, getting petitions going, finding ways to work around the system. I love the fact that on Easter Sunday, how many churches there were, and there was just so many videos going around on all the different churches they were that weren't allowed. You can go to Costco, you can go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. Imagine that. So what they did was they had church out in the parking lots. I love that. Way to go, people. And in any way you can, come up with creative ideas to stand up, to be supportive, get groups to go together. One way that people are doing it is getting a number of people to go together, going into Walmart or wherever, as a group, without wearing masks, right? And again, don't get the vaccine. And help people understand how detrimental these vaccinations can be. It may not kill you. You may not have an adverse event, but it could. We have so many videos of leading politicians, of leading medical personnel, what have you, that within 24 hours, 48 hours of getting vaccinated, they're dead. Do you want that to happen to you? No, you don't. So you want to stand up, you want to get involved, you want to get engaged, get on these different websites. Maybe next week I will make a whole long list of, well, we've done that before. There's a huge number of sites that you can be looking at to figure out what's really going on. Okay? Get involved with it. Support them in any way you can. Excuse me. All right? Okay, so this is the end of the program today. We're early. I'm Dr. Holly with the Whole Health Initiative on News for the Soul. My business is Choices Unlimited for Health and Wellness. You can go to my website, choicesunlimited.ca. You can connect with me personally, holly@choicesunlimited.ca. You can go send questions into Nicole at News for the Soul. Take advantage of all the articles, over 900 articles, of the books, of the websites that I've done. They're easy access. There's kind of, you can't buy books off the website, but you can buy them off of Amazon. You can download them to Kindle and whatever. So all the very best to you for this next week. I trust and encourage, support you to get out there, get involved, be part of the solution, and thinking, working, praying, behaving in manners that will help, that we want to live in, that we want to leave for our children and our children's children. Okay? On that note, think positive, be positive, act positive, support positive, but don't keep your head in the sand. Okay. Take good care, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.